At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV. All brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay in the house as well. Jeff, can't wait to talk about the college basketball game with you. What a game last night. We will get to it. Where does that rank on your all-time games, given the stakes, given the stage?
It's high. I don't know how high it is, but it's up there. I mean, the biggest comeback in championship game history speaks for itself.
It's tremendous. We'll get to that, all the details. Got some questions about that game to sort of throw out as we project forward to other things in our betting lives, because I think there's a lesson to be learned on something that went down last night, betting-wise moving forward. Chris Felica will join us, hour number two, the Bear, El Oso, from ESPN's College Game Day, Stanford Steve of the Bear podcast, and of course, Daily Wager. He'll talk about his Masters picks, his thoughts on the game last night as well. Dave Tindall joins us next hour. Dave Tindall from across the pond with his Leeds accent. Who does his annual thing. Remember, we do our championship formula for March Madness, which, by the way, hits again with a Kansas win. Dave Tindall does a similar thing for the Masters every year. And in fact, he had Hideki Matsuyama. Now, he had Hideki Matsuyama in 2019, 2 years before Hideki Matsuyama actually won it, which would mean that Patrick Cantlay would probably win it this year. But we'll find out who his championship formula reveals for the Masters. That's next hour. Paul Carr on the Champions League as well with our global theme today. We will talk Champions League. Two games today, two games tomorrow. He's got thoughts, I believe, on three of the four. So we'll talk to Paulie here a little later on. And as we always do on Tuesdays, always great to have him first thing Tuesday morning. It's Drew Dinsick from NBC Sports Edge. The NBC Sports Beat the Edge? It's Bet the Edge, for God's sakes. It's the Deep Dive podcast, and then it's NBC Sports Bet the Edge. And you know what messes me up is that on screen they put up NBC Sports Edge, so the whole thing gets messed up. Drew Dinsick, everybody. Good, how you doing, man?
It's a great morning. The Kansas Jayhawks are champions. Thoughts and prayers to anyone on the East Coast who's a UNC fan that stayed up for that collapse in the second half. I know it was probably like 1 o'clock Eastern time before that was resolved. Sorry for you guys.
Thoughts and prayers.
Heartfelt sorry for you, all of you UNC fans out there.
Yeah.
No, but in seriousness, that was about as good a drama as you could have asked for. You could sense the Kansas players obviously bought into the comeback and the momentum shift early in that second half, and then it was appointment viewing television from then on. So good game, good end of the season.
Well, let me bring up something since I said I was going to bring it up later, but I'll bring it up now because I had Robert McCormick for most outstanding player plus 616. I had him just before the game. I was like, you know what? You know, for the same principle I put to Caleb Love when I said 20-1. If you think Carolina's winning it all before the semis, before the Final Four, I said Caleb Love 20-1 is my play. Because he's already had one game where he kind of won it single-handedly against UCLA. Mm-hmm. So I thought Kansas was going to win last night. I was like, okay, Robert McCormick, he's already had his, you know, he beat Villanova. He was the difference in the Villanova game. If he has a good game tonight, he's going to get MOP. He did everything he was supposed to do. Everything. And they went ahead and they gave it to Abaji anyway. I'm just like, wait a minute. What's going on here? And so I guess just projecting forward to the NBA, which obviously you will have thoughts on all the time. Should we take a lesson from this? I try to put this forward, right? I try to put this forward when in baseball we're like, no one's talking about Brandon Crawford. Maybe we should pay a little attention to him. And at 100-1, he finished third in NL MVP. Not that he won it, but you get the idea. So I'm guessing with some of these NBA awards, are we forgetting that these are human beings who are going to do whatever the hell they want with their votes?
Yeah, I mean, yes, this is all like handicapping an award market always is funny because you're never actually saying, well, who is the best defensive player in the NBA? It's much more of, you know, who fits the narrative for what the award, you know, the award voters want to, you know, recognize this year. And it changes year over year. And there's a million moving parts. What it's even crazier for a vote like the MOP, because presumably they had to turn in those votes long before the game was fully over.
Oh,
and a bunch of them may have just kind of had penciled in Obagi like before the game started, just because, you know, he's kind of, you know, he had such a spectacular shooting performance against Nova. And, you know, it was kind of, you know, assumed that if anyone got it from Kansas, he was your first choice. And so, you know, they may have just kind of penciled in Obagi and not really ever revisiting it because they're all on a deadline to get their, you know, their stories written.
True.
Right?
We're betting on this stuff, man. We're betting on this stuff.
Well, I mean, Super Bowl MVP goes this way too. A good friend of ours who's been in the booth with a bunch of voters in the past told us this, like, you know, all those guys who are voting are all under deadline to get their story filed as soon as possible. And so the idea that they are really sitting there and thinking hard about this before they submit those votes is just not true. It's not. They are doing it on the fly as quickly as possible so that they can get on with their paid job. I think surely the decision last night was wrong. I mean, what was he, the fifth or sixth most valuable Jayhawk on the floor last night? And he somehow is the most outstanding for the whole tournament. So that was a stretch, I thought. And I thought the McCormick bettors got jabbed.
Yeah, we did. Jabbed. That's one way of putting it. I got a better verb for it, but I'll leave it off. I'll leave it off the air. All right. I want to get your Masters picks. I want to get any NBA picks you have tonight. But first, before we do that, I just want to spend a few good minutes talking about something, because I talk about how in NCAAs, I love playing survivor pools. And I try to promote them. I'm like, God, you'll never fill out another bracket when you play a survivor pool. It's so much cooler. It's so much more interesting. It's three-dimensional. It's awesome. With the Masters, and you do this, I think, with multiple majors, maybe you even did it for March Madness, you do something called a Calcutta. Lots of people do it. And, you're retracting. I don't know if you object with the characters.
No.
I'd love to talk about general Calcutta strategies, because I think there's a lot of people that are fascinated by that and are like, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. What can you provide for our audience?
Yeah, so first of all, hat tip to Jeff Ma and Rufus Peabody for putting on the high stakes Calcutta that they do. Basketball, NFL, super fun, because, you know, there's you obviously there's nothing stopping you from going and putting a futures bet on a given team, and obviously if they ultimately win, you get that, you know, you get that rush of, you know, not just the ride along the way, but then ultimately the big score, the big payday. But when it comes to, you know, college basketball is probably the best example. You have a team of, you know, field of 68, and until you know what the shape of that field is, you know, properly pricing everybody's path and you know, a true fare on all of the teams is very challenging. In fact, it's pretty much impossible, in my opinion. You need to know path in order to get some realistic certainty on college basketball futures market. And so Calcutta swoops in where now, once you know the path, you auction off all of the teams to the various players in the pool. And then everybody basically has their stake riding on the teams that are kind of in their portfolio. And it's a super, super fun way to go about participating in all of these. We did it for the, for NFL, you know, playoffs for the college basketball season. We're going to do it for the Masters here coming up tomorrow. It's extremely fun because, number one, you need to come up with a fair price for what every team is worth. That entirely boils down to, well, what are the rules of your pool? And, you know, what is the payout structure? And then you need to handicap the group you're participating with. right? Who in this group is especially high on which teams that I'm going to, you know, go in there and try to make sure, because it's an auction. You're going to try to bid those players up, and it's like the same as a fantasy football auction with your friends. You're like, well, I know my guy is a, you know, is a Patriots fan, so I'm going to make sure that I bid up Tom Brady every year, and you know, and that in doing so, you're making sure that the pot is juiced on top of the fact that, you know, you're getting plus, you know, you're going to get plus EV on some other player or some other team, and it's the same concept. And so, kind of going in with some expectation of what's the ultimate pot going to be, because that determines the payout every on every team is super important. And then, you know, just coming up with a set of numbers where you're like, okay, Kansas coming into this tournament, I have them worth 8% of the pot, whatever that pot ultimately becomes. And then now I have a price where if I think the pot's going to get up to, you know, $100, then I'm not going to go any higher than bidding $8 on Kansas. And, you know, you extrapolate that for whatever you think the fair pot size is going to be. And it makes for a super fun experience because, you know, you may look at, say, a Calcutta like the one we participated in and say, well, why in the world wouldn't you just go put that amount of money on Kansas to win it at a better price? You would have gotten more. And the idea of the fact that the payout structure is fluid, you get paid for every round of advancement instead of simply just getting it if they win at all, as you know, what, you know, which is a very top heavy way to play a futures market. It's a much more dynamic pool and a more fun way, in my opinion, at least to participate in the tournament.
Do you typically yeah. employ the diversify your portfolio strategy, or
you do? Well, there's two. Well, there again, the rules matter, right? So for the Golf Calcutta that we're going to do tomorrow, it's a super top heavy payout structure. You basically need somebody to get top 10 realistically in order to be in the money. And so for those pools, if you have a huge portfolio of 12 golfers or 20 golfers and out of a field of 70, right, then all of a sudden all of those guys are competing with each other for the 10 spots where you're actually going to get paid. So for the golf ones, I tend to, you know, just try to pick a couple of runners and hope to run good. But for, you know, for some of the other pools, it does make sense to diversify more. Like in the NFL Calcutta, we went in with the strategy of, you know, we want to try to get the Bills. We think they're undervalued by market. So anyone walking in with a fare that's tied to, say, the Chris futures prices, we're going to have as higher price than them. And so, you know, we'll try to scoop the Bills. And then we want a runner in the NFC as well. Cause you know, obviously, you know, if you have two runners in the AFC, then you know they cancel each other out to a degree in terms of total ceiling. So you know, diversifying in that way makes sense as well.
I love it. Well, after the break, we won't necessarily press Drew for his Calcutta strategy in this specific one, because he might tip his hand if anybody's listening in his Calcutta. But we will ask him for his Masters picks and anything he has going in the NBA tonight as the NBA resumes after a night off. The final week of the season. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read just this one right now. We'll get to some of the others later. This is from Bruce Dowbiggin, who says, can say from experience that MOP/MVP votes on deadline are FUBAR. I'll let you all look that up. Why do we still let media decide so many awards with so much money on the line? Why are people writing the news, making the news? FUBAR, Jeff. FUBAR. Drew Dinsick is back with us. Drew, by the way, let me just say this because I didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, and it's sort of bad form to say, oh, I was at this great event and you guys weren't. you don't want to do that, right? You don't want to make a living doing that. Bet Bash 2 was this weekend. You were missed. You were sorely missed, man. And I just want to say, it was the good shout out to Spanky and Matt Metcalf and Derek Stevens, everybody who put this on over at Circa. This was the greatest sports betting conference in the history of planet Earth. Let's say Western Hemisphere. I don't know what happens on the, you know, across the pond, but Western Hemisphere was, and you were sorely missed, man. We missed you there.
Well, yeah, no, I definitely had remorse not being there. family obligations kept me away, unfortunately. But it looked like everybody had a great time. And, again, congratulations to Spanky specifically for putting on such a smashing success.
By the way, from the legends down, from Roxy Roxborough, Scotty Shetler down, Chrissy, of course, and Vinny and all these guys, Jimmy, just amazing, all the way down to people. Awesome. It was great just connecting names with faces, right? Over the years, the people that you've known, I met Rob Bazzola for the first time, right? I hadn't met him before. Finally met Rob.
Connection.
Yeah, just great to connect with folks.
Got a lot of people to get packed you on the back. Hey, thanks for the EGA pick at the Miami Open. Appreciate that.
There was 20 or 30 of those. Yes, and Jason Weingart, it's so gratifying to watch Jason go around. People just shout at him, go, Ohtani, right? They don't even say hi to him. Right? They're just screaming bets at him. So it was fabulous. Anyway, we wished you were there as well. By the way, for those who are wondering why it's called the Calcutta, what we were just talking about, it goes back, at least it's believed that it traces back to the 1800s in the city of Kolkata, by the way, in India, as it was called at the time, at the Royal Calcutta Turf Club, one of the oldest golf courses in the world, known as the St. Andrews of Asia. And so that is why it is called what it is called, for those who...
That is outstanding.
There you go. Well, you might learn something if you're not careful. Okay, so your actual Masters picks, what have you made so far?
Right now, I don't have anything. That I'm going in with a clean mind and true fares here, as I am, currently looking at, bidding into this market tomorrow for the high stakes pool. I can tell you that in general, my numbers think that the top of the market is a little bit overpriced. I can't get anywhere close to this current price right now on Justin Thomas, for instance. I think realistically, Rahm is overpriced at this point, considering his current form and some of the performances we've seen from him so far this year. And just in general, don't love his fit with Augusta as much as I do for other courses like the U.S. Open. So I'm going to pass on Rahm, surely. I think the price on Scheffler's too high. I think the price on Rory's too high. Matsuyama is a scratch just because of the injury. Cam Smith has been bet down phenomenally from you could have gotten him in the 30, 33 to 1 ballpark before his players win. He is now down into the 14 to 1 range. That's a fair adjustment, but a little bit aggressive. If he comes out of the gate slow, but he is still within reach after round one, that's a player that I would add kind of in running as a realistic shot to win this, and just hoping to get a better price than is currently available. Some of it is obviously I have remorse for not getting involved earlier on Cam Smith, who is obviously he's such a perfect fit for this tournament and has played well here in the past. Patrick Cantlay is a scratch for me. Dustin Johnson's a scratch for me. Xander Schauffele is a scratch for me. Victor Hovland is a scratch. Will Zalatoris shows up on my numbers, and one of the best one of my favorite golf guys is very confident in Zalatoris at least hitting the top of the board this week, if not winning it outright. So
you are literally the first person, because I have a Zalatoris bet because I just like the number, right? It was 36 to 1. You're the first person to mention him, as far as I can tell.
I'm my fare for him is closer to 28. I think he should be in that Bryson range as opposed to kind of down in that next tier. Similarly, if you're going to give me a choice between a guy like Schauffele at 20 to 1 or Bryson at 28 or Matsuyama at 33 or Zalatoris at 33, it's pretty obviously to me Zalatoris, just because of his ball striking and his approach game is so phenomenal, and that's really kind of I upweight that big time in coming up with a fare for this particular course. I think the guys that the market looks cold on, Zalatoris and Morikawa are the two that I'm surprised by. I would have thought both of those guys would have been in the high 20s, and you can get them for favorable prices, in my opinion.
So then heading into Thursday, then what do you anticipate you will have, or what's the strategy moving forward? How will you attack this then?
Well, there are certain guys that I'm going to make sure I bid to market fair that I know I am low on. Mm-hmm. A guy like Rahm, a guy like Justin Thomas. I have to be a little bit delicate with those guys, but I know Rufus is participating. I know that in large, and I know Adam Bjorn is participating. So I can look at the Bet Chris numbers and just generally have a gauge of where those guys will stop. in terms of what the market, you know, what their fair, you know, pop percentage would be. So a couple of these guys at the top, I need to make sure they actually get to or exceed what my fair price is. And then some of these guys that are in the middle that I'm higher on than the market, like Zalatoris and Joaquin Niemann, Morikawa, I'm going to swing a little harder on. And, you know, in general, the way a Calcut works, and this is kind of the last tip in just in general thought, whoever gets bid early, and then that's random, right? You shuffle up, you know, who lands in the, you know, to be bid in the first handful of golfers. Those tend to always be the most plus EV when it's all said and done, because nobody really has a fair pot projection when you start. And so you think the pot's going to come in low. The first couple of golfers, people are like, I didn't really love him. Yeah, I'm not going to go over my fair for that guy. And then the next thing you know, the pot projection grows from about the quarter mark to about the three quarter mark of a Calcutta. Almost everybody's pot projection tends to go up. And that is because whoever ends up getting golfer X is because they had them as the highest percent of the pot, right? And so naturally you are kind of building in more than 100% of the pot based on who gets who. And so pot tends to grow. So in, it's almost blindly plus EV just to try to get a couple of the guys early on in the stakes.
Real quick, and let's go 30 seconds because I want to get some NBA thoughts from you, but where do you stand on Tiger? We have screens on here. Tiger looks fantastic, by the way, to the eye. I don't know how he's going to score. I don't know if he's going to make the cut, but like to the naked eye, you're like, yeah, looks fine to me.
I mean, best of luck coming up with a fair for him.
Yeah.
I give him a little over 50-50 to make the cut. I am hopeful that he is kind of part of the narrative of the weekend, but ultimately I won't hesitate to bet against him round three, round four matchups if the opportunity presents, because the market looks tilted in his favor against my fair numbers. Like I give him about a 0.5% chance to win this thing. I would make him 200-1. I don't think there's a plus EV bet to be made right now for him to finish, win top X, you name it. I think it's all tilted. And, you know, I would like to see him make it to the weekend and see if the fitness question marks end up rearing their ugly head on Saturday and Sunday. You know, at the same time, like if he ends up, you know, making a story out of this, it'll be an enjoyable experience as someone who's enjoyed golf and enjoyed Tiger. Now, this is the 25th anniversary of his first Masters win, which is absolutely
incredible. Incredible. We all got old, Drew. Yeah. We all got old.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
NBA, all kinds of playoff and play-in implications tonight. Do you have a play or two?
Yeah, you know, I like a couple of the dogs. I see rest advantages for Atlanta over Toronto. I see rest advantages for Charlotte over Miami. So I took the points with both of those teams. Toronto, Atlanta, I grabbed at +4 against Toronto, and Charlotte, I got at 5.5 against Miami. I think in general this week, there's a lot of teams that are checking out and or, you know, using this week to get their players some extra rest. I don't think anyone's interested in grinding their guys down with the playoffs in, you know, approaching, you know, with the exception of the Atlantas of the world and the Charlottes of the world that are going to do everything they can to get into that seven, eight matchup, as opposed to having to win two games to get into the playoff mix.
All right, Drew, enjoy everything. The Masters, enjoy your Calcutta. Good luck at @whale_capper for the great Drew Dinsick. And sorry about your alma mater Duke, man, going out in the final.
Oh, it's all good. They went out competitively. That's all I could ask.
All right. And you asked and you shall and you did receive. So there you go. Drew Dinsick, everybody. Thank you, Drew.
Hey, best of luck, guys.
You too. Jeff and I coming back on College Hoops and then some Champions League with Paul Carr, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Opening day and the opening round of the Masters are the same day, so that first week of April will be jam-packed, this week that is, with betting intel from our experts. We got breakdown of every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups from the long shots crew. Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, and Matt Eumanns. Sign up today, get full access to VSiN through the start of baseball season, the Masters, and the NFL Draft for only at VSiN.com/spring. I almost said splash spring. Skill Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from It's Not Juice If You Win. Hey, whatever happened with your French Open bet from a few years ago? And do you play MLB Survivor? A couple questions from It's Not Juice If You Win. I don't play MLB Survivor because, Lord knows, I need to maintain some sort of life with me, and I'm just doing too much, so I can't do that for a full season. And as far as the other one, yes, despite the journalistic integrity of things like the Las Vegas Review-Journal, it's all still pending. All still pending. This is from Bainbridge DeWeese. Is there a way to listen to your Bet Bash panel in podcast form? There is not. Those panels are going to be for the attendees of Bet Bash 2. That was this weekend. So they will not be available in podcast form. I don't believe whether those plans will change. That's up to Spanky and up to Matt Metcalf and the guys who ran that panel. But as of now, there are no plans to release them. And it really is. I mean, it really was epic. Here's the thing. I always talk about the MIT Sloan Sports Conferences from years ago. That's where a lot of us met. That's where I met Spanky. That's where I met Jason finally face-to-face years ago. So many of us, both in front of the scenes, behind the scenes of sports betting, met there. And this was really like the evolution almost of that to its most awesome form. And I just want to thank all of the listeners to VSiN and to this show specifically who came up. If you ever wondered if you resonate with people, it's corroborated by that. So, and there were so many people who walked up, and I'm going to forget everybody's names, but Zach and Adam and Brad, and there's so many other names, I'm going to forget people, but everyone who walked up and said something, just really appreciate the interaction this weekend. I hope you had a great time at the conference. The Better Life, Tim Lawson, smart bets and geography lessons. Can't beat the value of a numbers game here at Visa. We appreciate that. And thank you, by the way, Jeff. You were on Tim Lawson's podcast. And you had a great episode with him. You were also on Will Hill's podcast. I retweeted Jeff Parles, podcast guest extraordinaire. You're everywhere.
Oh, the Will Hill one was unfortunate for timing because DeGrom legitimately was announced to be hurt 2 hours after we recorded that.
Jeez.
So that would have changed. I would have been a little less cheery as I was with Will on the, of course, the New York City CityCast, which you can get anywhere podcasts are. And I had a ball with Tim Lawson. What a fun podcast that was, Gil. I just hope that it came across while listening.
Totally came across that you guys were having fun, and I appreciate the kind words. And let me just say this. I apologize because I'm trying to come up with names of people at the conference that approached. There were so many, and so I am inevitably going to forget most of them. I just riffed off three that I could remember off the top of my head who I probably spent the most time with. But it was just so wonderful to meet people. And Jeff, next time you should be there. Tim Lawson should be there, who you did the podcast with. Everybody should be there as that conference will inevitably grow.
Yeah. Also, I'll give Bob, who listens to us every day. I was up at Stadium Swim for a little bit during the North Carolina Duke game while everyone was having a good time. Up there by that pool, one of our listeners, Bob, came talk to me for about 15 minutes. It's really cool to just hear how many people appreciate what we do, Gil.
It is, man. It's great. Like I said, it's great to associate, you know, people on Twitter with faces, right? And folks who tell their stories. And it's always great to hear what people's backgrounds are and how they end up listening to us and dealing with, you know, how their interactions with their significant others are when it comes to this stuff. So many funny stories. The pool thing is the one thing I opted out of because I was betting all day Saturday. I had to be in my cocoon with Iga playing Naomi. I didn't want to be distracted by that. And then I was betting other tennis that day. And then, of course, the semifinals. But everything else, my goodness, Legacy Club Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. I had never been up there at Circa before. What a facility. What a spot that is. What a view. To the rest of the town. As far as the game last night, in case you missed it, it was one of the great ones. One of the great championship games of all time. And that's saying something because obviously, you know, 82, 83 leap to mind in my childhood is the great ones. And there are so many through the years. But my goodness, was this good last night. UNC trailed 7-0 to begin the game. And then at 22-22, they had fought back to tie it. They go on a 16-0 run. 16-0 run at that point to go up 38-22. So basically, after trailing 7-0, they outscored Kansas 38-15. Just absolutely rolled them. 16-0 run, part of that, of course. And they led by 15 at the half. They led 40-25 at the half. Now, Jeff, was there a thought in your head at halftime that Kansas had a prayer to come back and win this? Seriously.
Very small. Very small, because what was still lingering in the back of my brain was the 25-point collapse against Baylor by North Carolina, where I thought if Kansas decided to press a little bit and try to speed UNC up, try to turn UNC over like Baylor was able to, I thought, all right, maybe. I did take Kansas plus, I guess it was plus 8 at halftime for the game. But no, I would have expected North Carolina to win that game with the way that they played that first half, Gil.
Well, it ends up, as you said earlier, it ends up being the largest comeback in championship game history. Kansas, in the first 10 minutes of the second half, outscore Carolina 31-10. I mean, they ate into that lead so quickly. That was the key, right? That it wasn't like this slow climb up a mountain. Man, they were almost at the peak of the mountain quick. Halfway through the second half, after a 31-10 run, Kansas was up 56-50. There was a moment there where you're like, is Kansas going to actually run away with this? This cannot be happening. Well, they didn't run away with it, but they end up getting it done. Each team in the end led this game for 18 minutes and 32 seconds each. That's how even this was. Each team led for 18 minutes and 32 seconds each. The rest of it, they were tied. And in the end, Kansas shot better than 57% in the second half of the last three games of March Madness. Miami, Villanova, and Carolina. They shot better than 57% in the second halves of all three of those games, and they held all of their tournament opponents to under 40% shooting. They were awesome last night, and they deserved it. And I agree with Charles Barkley in some sense that we already covered the fact that I had McCormick as the MOP, and how he didn't win is just ridiculous to me. And for those who had McCormick, I don't know how we didn't win. But I thought Brown was the best player on that court last night. I thought he brought them back in. Apparently it's not pronounced Braun now. It's Brown. Didn't know that. I thought his play early in the second half completely brought Kansas back into that game. And I will say that Remy Martin, who I loved at Arizona State, he hit massive threes as well. And that's why when Drew said it, Abaji wasn't even one of the top three players on Kansas last night. He ends up winning MOP, but I just thought they were phenomenal through it all. And then at the end of the game, let me just say this. I know you wanted to jump in, Jeff. Go ahead. You go ahead and say what you want to
say.
Oh,
okay, because I know we're going here. Because Remy Martin, the full Remy Martin experience happened last night, where he was virtually unplayable in the first half. And then hits probably the three biggest shots that Kansas hit, other than the one at the end by McCormick to put him up three. Incredible performance, and I'm with you on Brown as well. What a performance by him, and can be forgotten in the grand scheme of things. But oh, he was phenomenal.
He was
in that game.
Phenomenal. They don't win without him. He was 100%. Phenomenal. And Bill Self gets his second title, and congratulations to Kansas. How about at the end? Kansas is up three, and we're sending back text and forth. Everybody is. Felika and I were. Felika will be joining us here at the top of the hour. You got a foul here, right? You got a foul here. I think you do. But then I will tell you this. I thought Brown made a great play not fouling Caleb Love, because it looked like Love could rise up at any second, right? And so he made a great play not fouling. So I really didn't have a problem with it. What I did have a problem with was Jim Nance, Bill Raftery, and Grant Hill never even bringing it up as a strategic possibility. Like, is the generation gap so big that we don't talk about that? We're not allowed to bring that up? That drove me crazy. At least bring it up.
No? I was surprised. I was surprised it wasn't brought up. And
Nance was too busy thinking about what he was going to say if either team won. He was like, self-important. No, he was going through in his mind. He was like doing a workshopping of them.
Gil, the one thing that I will say, because there are a lot of people who were blasting Self at the end for them not fouling, but the way that play went, unless if the foul was committed as soon as the ball is inbounded,
I agree.
You were in a position, and especially can't trust college refs to get it right, where if Love just decides to go up at all, he's getting three free throws if there's a foul committed. And it was perfect defense from Brown. Just, again, phenomenal play by a guy who played absolutely incredible last night.
Completely agree, and I'm a fouler, right? I am 100%. Always pro foul.
So am I.
But I thought I really did, given how the play worked out. And you know, Love is just super quick with his moves, and I was just like, that was perfectly played. Perfectly played. The shot is harmless, and Kansas is your national title holders, and the championship formula works out again. works out again. Kansas getting it done. Somebody was like, oh, what a fluky win. I was like, well, it's been a fluke for three or four decades now, that championship formula. Paul Carr, his thoughts on it. And, of course, the Champions League next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. BetMGM, proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets. If a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on, eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. Skill Alexander, we do have a tennis pick later. We do have a tennis pick coming up. We only had one tennis pick yesterday. It did not win. It was a dog on Heather Watson. She did not win. She lost in straight sets. It is the beginning, the very beginning of clay court season. So we are treading super duper lightly. Don't expect a high volume of picks this week, but we will have a trickle of them. To be sure, we got one coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, he's here to talk Champions League, but I want to get his reaction to the game last night. The reason I'm laughing is because Paul Carr had the greatest in the game of what will Jim Nance concoct with whoever wins this game last night. Paul had a great guess. What was it, Paul? What did you think Nance was going to blurt out at the end?
I was going for, regardless of which team wins, the bluest of the Blue Bloods. Is the national champion.
The bluest of the Blue Bloods. That would have been a tongue twister for him to say. I would imagine he wasn't able to get one out last night because it was so frenzied at the end.
I was a little disappointed, but yeah, just such the nature of the game. He pulled out a Jayhawk juggernaut thing when they were going to break a minute or two later, but
yes.
I was a little disappointed we didn't get the true Nance-ism.
He did pull out the Jayhawk juggernaut. That's right. Alliteration from me, Jim, on the Jayhawk juggernaut. I got in an argument on text with someone yesterday, my buddy, who clearly had a bet on Carolina, right? But even though he didn't admit this, but he was texting me. He was like, oh, did you see the last play? He was like, Abaji straight stripped Manic.
Yeah. Manic going to the
Manic.
Corner, yeah.
Going to the corner. I was like, I didn't think he tripped him. I think he just ran over his leg kind of thing, didn't he?
I thought they just got tangled up. I never saw a great replay, but it didn't, you know, there was no shove or sticking a leg out or anything like that. It looked incidental to me.
You too thought that McCormick should have been most outstanding player, and you had one simple stat you wanted to share.
Yeah, I mean, let's even go simpler. He had the most points of any KU player in the Final Four. He had 40, Abaji had 33. But I think the more telling one is plus minus, which can be a noisy stat, but they were plus 41 when he was on the court, and they were minus 22 without him.
For the whole tournament?
No, just for the Final Four.
Oh, for the Final Four, right. Plus 41 and minus 20. That's all you need to know.
And if you watched either of the games, you could tell how different the offense was, how different the rebounding was when he wasn't on the floor. And look, I'm on the text chain with a bunch of KU fans, and for much of the season, a lot of us have been dogging McCormick because just, you know, hasn't always been playing at his best. And all of us were still on the spectrum from confused to outraged that he wasn't the most outstanding player.
Right. Though, you get the championship, and I'm sure. Yeah, you're a huge game.
Yeah,
guy, right?
Yeah. Grew up, lived about half hour from campus.
Yeah.
I still, in 1988, when they won the title, my dad made me go to bed at halftime when it was 50-50.
Because I was
a little kid. So I've been kind of holding that over his head for, you know, 20 years. And so last night I got to watch with him, and he let me stay up for the whole thing, which was very nice of him.
That was very nice of your dad. You're, of course, referring to Danny Manning and the Miracles back in 1988. Yeah. Taking it over Oklahoma, I believe it was that year, right? Harvey Grant in Oklahoma.
Stacey King.
Yeah.
Blaylock.
Mookie Blaylock. Oh, my God. Yeah. Another star-studded team from back in the day that did not win a national championship. All right. World Cup draw. Your reaction?
I mean, from a U.S. standpoint, it's a decent draw. Could have been better. Could have been worse. We don't know the fourth U.S. opponent yet. So if you're looking to bet at that group, I'm staying away from that. If you want some fun play, I like Canada to get out of the group. I think Mexico's got a real good shot to get out of the group. Senegal, maybe a dark horse to win that Group A. But yeah. There's no group of death, and not so much for the terminology, but just because FIFA's made the seeding process better. But yeah, fun draw. Very excited. Only 6 months till the tournament now.
Okay, only 6 months. Yeah, again, we brought this up last time, but it's like it's in November. Paul, yeah. How much are we really? I mean, we'll have segments. We'll talk about it, but it's like in the heart of football season, our football.
Yeah,
it just sucks. Like, come on.
It is. I mean, as I love the World Cup as much as anybody, yeah. And I'm going to be very confused because instead of just, you know, it's usually in the perfect time, this lull of summer, you know, it starts about the time the NBA and NHL finals are wrapping up, and it's about all that's going on, and
well,
not so much. It's,
just
going to be very confusing.
You just have to have a World Cup in Qatar, Paul. I mean, you just have to. You know how it is.
And it's hot there in the summer. Who knew?
Yeah. I'm sure it's above board. I'm sure it's all above board. All right.
Oh, right.
Champions League. We are at the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We have two games today. We have two games tomorrow. Let's start with the one that you don't have any real play on, and that's the Man City Atletico Madrid game, Premier League, La Liga, hooking up here in this. You don't have a play on this.
I just don't have a feel for this game. I feel like everything's on the table. You know, I mean, the obvious thing is that City's at home. They're the best team. They're going to win this handily, this first leg at the very least. But Atletico has this Champions League magic. We saw it against Manchester United where they defend well. They limit your opportunities. They sneak a goal on the counter. So yeah, I could see City winning this 3-0. I could see Atletico pulling a 1-0 win out of nowhere. So I'm staying away from this just because I don't have a feel for what could happen. I think everything's on the board here.
Atleti is a plus 875 dog in this game, too.
That's a nice price.
Yeah. All right. What about Benfica from Portugal, the Primeira Liga? Benfica against Liverpool in today's match. This is 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific.
Yeah, this is Liverpool got one of the good draws in the quarterfinals, and I like them in this game. I like them late in the goal line, -1.5. I'll lay it. Even money is what I got. I saw it at +110 this morning, so better price might be out there. They've won 27 of 48 games this season by multiple goals. That's more than half, and more than half away from home, too. And we saw Ajax last round against Benfica really win at Benfica early and put a couple goals on them in the first half. Could have been easily one or two more. But then Ajax didn't have the defense to kind of hold them off in the second half. Liverpool has that defense. They've got a better attack, so I think they'll be able to put up some goals. I think the defense will hold strong, and I think Liverpool will kind of cruise in this one. So I'll lay the goal line there.
Liverpool laying the goal line, laying the goal and a half over Benfica today, +100. Always shop around for the price. Then tomorrow, let's start with
Chelsea.
Yeah, start with Chelsea and Real Madrid.
Yeah, so we're going back to the under train that was so successful for a good chunk of last season. Both these teams kind of scuffling. Chelsea got smoked by Brentford over the weekend. Real Madrid got destroyed 4-0 by Barcelona a couple weeks ago. But I think the way this will play out, I think Real Madrid's going to approach this a lot like, again, last leg against PSG, where they just bunker down on the road and were happy to get home, down a goal, or try to pull out a scoreless draw, something like that. Chelsea's attack has not been clicking at all. And Chelsea dominated Real Madrid last year. I think it might look a lot like that this year, but Chelsea's offense, again, Lukaku we thought was the perfect piece for them, but he has not fit into this attack super well. So I think it's going to be low scoring one way or the other. I'm taking under 2.5 goals, -135. My price, I'd play a little bit shorter if necessary, but not a whole lot.
All right. And then also tomorrow, Bayern Munich from Bundesliga, Villarreal, or as we like to say it, Villarreal, from La Liga. You like Bayern Munich here, of course. I know you do.
I like you trill on the R's a lot, too.
Hey, man. Castellano Spanish. Old school.
But yes, I like Bayern here. This is a not overthink it pick. Taking Bayern to win, -160. I think it's around -180 some places now. So that's about as far as I would go. This falls into my don't overthink it category. Look, Villarreal is a good team, and I'm not overlooking them, but they're a defend and counter type of team. Bayern is going to be super happy about that because they will take their, you know, 65% of the ball, and they well, grind out a goal one way or the other, maybe two or three. Villarreal's defense, again, it's decent. It's not great. They struggled more against Real Madrid and Barcelona this year in La Liga, which are the two closest things that Spain has to a Bayern Munich attack. So I think Bayern will do what Bayern does. They'll break through eventually. They'll get a goal or two, and they'll hold off Villarreal, and Bayern will get to take a lead back to Allianz Arena next week.
All right, Champions League quarterfinals. Again, Liverpool minus the goal and a half. That is today. No play on the Man City Atleti match that goes on as well today. Tomorrow, Chelsea, Real Madrid under 2.5 goals, and then Bayern Munich, Villarreal. Bayern Munich is the play, minus 160. Last thing here real quick, back to the college basketball game, the title game last night. We were talking, Jeff and I, before about how I couldn't believe how Nance Hill and Raftery didn't bring up even the possibility of fouling. But then I also said, having said that, I actually liked that Brown didn't foul Love. You agree with both of those things?
Yeah, I kept waiting for them to say something, and they never did. And then, yeah, I mean, Brown had, like, if you do it in that situation, you have to do it immediately. Uh-oh. Like, you have to be fouling before he gets the ball almost.
Yes.
So he had that split-second window where he could have hammered him right away. Once he didn't do that, just play him straight up, make him take a 25-30, kind of like he did, and it all worked out.
Did you make a Masters play? Anybody?
I have a Masters pool coming up. Oh, some friends and I do draft, you know, guys from six different buckets.
So okay.
Have some fun there.
Everybody's got their vehicle. I like it. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. Have a good one.
Paul Carr at Paul Carr from the Expected Value Podcast. Chris Velika's got Masters picks. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Bet.